Let's open up in prayer, yeah? All right. Dear God, we just come to you this morning, and we thank you that we can spend this time to learn more about you. We thank you that we can be in the air conditioning while we open up your word. I thank you for food, and I thank you for this opportunity to talk about your word. In your name, amen. All right. I'm going to open us up with a quote. Pizza, great equalizer. Rich people love pizza, poor people love pizza, white people love pizza, black people love pizza. Do black people like pizza? Michael Scott, The Office, Season 2, Episode 15, Boys versus Girls. Now, why I want to focus on this quote is because although many times Michael Scott in the show The Office, he's misguided in his opinions or goes about handling things the wrong way, I think he makes a really good point. Pizza is a great equalizer. Pizza is something that almost everybody loves. You know, we can sit down, go find a slice of pizza. You know, that really gets us going. You know, there's pizza parties. Just pizza's the best, right? And in this episode of the show in particular, Michael Scott is using pizza because he wants to unite a group of blue-collar workers and white-collar workers and get them to sit down and relate and to talk to one another. The whole episode, he's been having these attempts to try and make friends with these guys he doesn't have a lot in common with. And he can. But once he brings in the pizza, that's when things really get going. And although pizza isn't the only great equalizer, I believe food as a whole is the great equalizer between people. Now, Michael Scott wasn't the only person to use food, though, as an equalizer. I think Jesus, in particular, had some of the best examples of using food to bring people together. So, if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark 2, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. So I'll give y'all a moment to open those up. Feedback City. All right. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead and read that. All right. And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes and Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to Jesus, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Wow. Okay. So, from what I see, a lot just happened there, right? Jesus is, you know, he's walking along the shoreline, talking with a group of people, and he stops. And he sees someone, Levi, that most people don't really want to talk to. I mean, think about it this way. You're walking along Main Street here in Alhambra, and you see an IRS agent. Now, your first instinct isn't going to be like, "Hey, how's it going? Hey, bud." No, no way. You're going to avoid them. You don't want to get audited, right? No one wants to deal with that. But you know, Jesus goes straight up to this guy, this Levi, and he says, "Hey, follow me." And that's huge. That is huge. I'm sure even the people who were with Jesus were surprised by this, right? Like, Jesus just talked to tax collector? Oh, that guy really screwed me over last year. My return was terrible, you know? You know, this is huge. But it's not that Jesus just talks to Levi. It's that we find Jesus sitting down with Levi and many other tax collectors and sinners and sharing a feast, a huge meal. They had everything, you know, first, second, third courses. This is a big deal. And I think that's why the Pharisees are so in shock by this. You know, they show up and they're like, "Look at this Jesus guy. What is he doing? He's sitting down eating with sinners. This man who claims to be the Son of God? He can't do that. He can't sit down with these outcasts, these despicable people." But I think Jesus' point here was that he knew, by example, if he sat down and shared a meal with these people who were often hated by society, it would really show that they deserved love. They deserved acceptance, just like everyone else. And Jesus puts it really nicely for us when he says, at the end, you know, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And that's exactly who he went out to, those sinners, those tax collectors, the outcasts of society. One interesting thing I wanted to point out is that this story is kind of told in multiple books of the gospel. So if we look in Luke 5, I'm just going to pull Luke 5:29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So this is not some small get-together. I think Jesus is, you know, this is a big deal, a big group of people. He's all the tax collectors, you know, most of the this branch of the IRS is there. He's like, yeah, Jesus, come on over. Let's eat, let's eat. Let's get together and fellowship and sit down at the table, right? We also look in the book of Matthew, Matthew 9:10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So again, we see there were a lot of people there. And one thing that stood out to me, and I was kind of trying to figure out, is that depending on which book you're reading this story in, it's either Levi that Jesus talks to or Matthew. And turns out that's the same person. It's just that Matthew is the Greek name and Levi was the Hebrew name. So as a tax collector, Levi slash Matthew would use one of those names depending on who he was working with. So Matthew slash Levi, same guy, inviting Jesus over. So let's see. This story, I don't know, I guess it stood out to me because I really realized that I think we have so many examples of Jesus using food in the Bible because he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to go out and sit down with people, have meals with them, share an experience. When you go to a restaurant or sit down at a table with someone, it really doesn't matter where you've been, where you're going. In that moment, you're going through the same thing. You're eating the same food, you know. You're both using forks, both got napkins, you know. Everything is equal. And that's something unique that we don't always come upon. And I think Jesus knew that, so that's why he wanted to sit down with these tax collectors as an example for us and all the other people who were there. And the Pharisees, I don't know why they just couldn't see that, right? They're just looking to cause trouble at every single turn. You know, they come in here, you're eating with sinners. Why are you sitting down with him? When in reality, they should have looked to Jesus as an example. They should have seen what Jesus is doing and said, This is how we reach out to people, not by condemning them, not by going up on the street corner and say, you are a sinner, you are going to burn in hell. That doesn't really work, you know? But if you sit down with someone, you share a meal, you really get to know them, that's what's going to get people to listen to what you have to say. That's what's going to get people invested in your message. You know, you're going to reach out to them. And I think that's something we do really well here at Gateway, too. Every week there's food after the service. I remember just a few weeks ago, we had, for Olga going away, we had those excellent burgers. I mean, thinking of myself, any type of event, I hear there's going to be food there, that automatically makes me want to go. Even if it's something, you know, I might not be super interested in, if I hear free food, I'm there. I mean, I'm a young boy. I'm growing. You know, I need food. That's what keeps me going. And I can think of just growing up, too, in church. I had a lot of youth events in my church where they would promise us food. You know, they'd be like, oh, we're going to have burritos and banana splits, just crazy stuff like that. And kids would come from, you know, all over the place because there's ice cream, there's burritos. I think, and I realized just over the week while I was studying this passage and just thinking about food in general as a tool for outreach is, I think it's one of the best tools for outreach, honestly. And it's so easy to do, right? I mean, any one of us can microwave chicken strips or, you know, follow a recipe pretty easily, right? We can make food for others and use that to reach out to them. So one thing I wanted to touch on from my own life where I really saw food as a tool for outreach is that back in 2014, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip. This wasn't your ordinary run-of-the-mill missions trip. I went with this organization called Shining Light Ministries. And what Shining Light Ministries does is that they take artists, kind of like actors, singers, dancers, creative types, and they go on a tour of different prisons up and down the East Coast. So the goal is to get a bunch of college kids from all over the U.S. We put together a show with skits and songs and dances, and then take this whole stage and lighting equipment and live music into different facilities and perform for inmates and those who are incarcerated. And this was a really cool experience. I mean, I'd never done anything like it before. I'd never been in a prison, so it was pretty crazy at times. We went to places like Rikers Island in New York, Maine State Prison, just, you know, some places you never thought you'd find yourself. But there was one facility in particular that really stuck out to me. It was a all-boys youth facility in Maine. And what was really cool is that before we got to do our performance for the boys who were there, we got to head down to the cafeteria and sit with them and eat, which was crazy because this is, I mean, a prison cafeteria is not the most fun place to be. Everything is so locked down and regulated. They have to keep track of every single piece of plastic, silverware, and cutlery that they pass out to make sure no one takes it back to their cells. The food is, it's not fantastic. I don't recommend it. Like one star on Yelp, I don't know. For those of us who are on the trip, these 30 college students, you know, who are all trying to be actors or singers, you know, just creative types, we're a wild bunch. This was one of the first facilities we'd gotten to visit, so we're still kind of nervous about the whole thing, you know, because every time you go in, they got to pat you down, you know, make sure we're not bringing anything in. And this was one of our first times to really get face to face with people who found themselves in a not so great situation. And I remember heading into that cafeteria, we got in the same line as all those inmates did, you know, we're waiting with our trays, kind of slop our food onto the plate, grab our plastic fork and plastic knife, throw it on there, and we sit down, you know, all the tables are mixed. We're in our shining light t-shirts with our black dance pants. There's all these boys with their jumpsuits on. And this was the moment where it really became real for me. These are real people who have seen some things I've been fortunate enough to never have to deal with in my life. These were kids who had charges of drug possession and public intoxication, you know, and they're 15, 16 years old. That really hit me, you know. I remember this one boy, his name was Keegan, and we were talking, and we had a lot in common. Keegan and I, we both liked to play guitar. We had similar interests in music, you know. I would consider Keegan, you know, we would be friends, I think. We got to see each other more, but because of Keegan's situation, you know, he was stuck in there. And it was really great for that 30 minutes or so we got to sit down with them. You know, we were just eating the same food. We could make jokes about it, kind of complain, because, you know, they had some sense of humor. You have to while you're in there. And in those moments that we shared, we were equal. Food is what brought us together, you know? We're all sitting there eating the same things, talking about life, you know, talking about our likes, our dislikes, you know, just a bunch of kids. The only difference was that after we finished our meal, we got to go home and they had to go back to their cells. So after we shared that meal, we parted our ways and we prepared for our performance and they went and sat down in the audience. And honestly, I believe that show, we went to 10 different facilities. I believe that show in particular was one of our best, one of our most impactful. And I believe it was the most impactful because of the meal that we got to share with those boys. You know, we weren't just a bunch of faceless strangers coming in, you know, just these weird, goofy kids coming in to dance and sing. We knew each other. We knew each other's names. You know, we got to hear a little bit of one another's stories. And that really made our show, our message, all that much more impactful. After every performance, we would get to do a Q&A. With the inmates. So, you know, we'd all sit down on the stage, pass around a microphone, they'd get to ask us questions, you know. And more often than not, a lot of inmates would ask us, why are you here? Why us? Why did you want to come visit us? Because when you're in a facility like that, you know, most of the time, you might not be getting too many visitors, you know. Most things aren't for you. And our goal was to really, we were there to show love those inmates. We weren't there for us, we were there for them, you know, to share the love of Jesus Christ. And really, because of that meal we shared, that made the biggest impact. We'd say, we're here for you. We're here to share our message with you, you know. We weren't here for anyone else, we weren't here for ourselves. No, we were there for them. And I think at this boys' facility in particular, that really made an impact, that really hit it home. That meal, those 30 minutes, kind of changed everything. You know, That made me realize, just thinking about that this week and thinking about that passage in the Bible, food is one of the greatest tools that God gives us to reach out to other people. Whether it's just, you know, inviting someone to church. Hey, you know, there'll be coffee. We'll have some pastries, little quesadillas like we had last week. Ooh, it's really good. Just little things like that. You know, that gets people in the door. Anytime we go out to eat with someone, anytime, you know, we share food with someone in any capacity, I think that has the power to go such a long way. And, you know, I think Jesus knew this, and that's why so many examples in the Bible, he gave us food. So, food. Is it the great equalizer? Yes, it is. I believe it's so. Food is God's gift to us, and it's our job to use it to bring people to God, and use it to bring people here to Gateway. I don't know how to end.